I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 17. We're continuing our study of Abraham and looking at him as a type or a picture for us, that we might be encouraged to not do everything that Abraham did, but a lot of things that he did. So, Genesis chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. It's a very unique situation that we find Abraham in chapter 17. In chapter 15, we find God appearing to Abraham and God telling Abraham his plan. And last Sunday we talked about how Abraham implemented that plan by having a child with Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant in their home. And obviously they made a mistake. And Sarah found that out, and she said, Abraham, my sin be on you. And it was a problem because of Ishmael being born into the family. But there's something else that we see. From chapter 15 until chapter 17, we do not find God having any fellowship with Abraham. In fact, we find Abraham's sin has really separated he and the Lord. And the period of time from chapter 15 to chapter 17 is 13 plus years of silence. This is what sin will cause to happen in our own life. When we have sin in our life, it breaks the fellowship between the Lord and ourselves. And I'm encouraged to see that God made the first move. He appeared unto Abraham in chapter 17, and Abraham did the appropriate thing. He fell down on his face before him. He humbled himself. He knew that he wasn't having any fellowship with him, obviously, and it brought him to his knees. God reminded him who he was. I am the Almighty God. I am God Almighty. Or the Almighty God. You know what he's saying? Remember what I told you in the 15th chapter, Abraham? I'm in charge. And Abraham, I'm still in charge. That's what he's saying, basically speaking. Abraham had all kinds of plans in the 15th chapter of Genesis. And God said, no, those plans don't work, and even the plan that you and Sarah worked out isn't going to work. And so we find Almighty God appearing to Abraham when he is 99 years old. The word Almighty is a word that the scholars can't agree on what it means. Some seem to think that it means to be strong, others a mountain. Others associate it with Shad, which is to do with a nursing mother. And of course, what this is basically saying is that the God of Abraham is all of these, basically speaking. He is a strong God. He is a God above all. He is a God that's from the mountains, or he is a mountain. And He is a God who will supply every need. When we think about a nursing mother, we think of the nurturing and we think about the feeding and the supply. And Abraham was to know Him as God Almighty. Abraham does not know the Lord as Jehovah. And yet we find the word Jehovah all the way through the book of Genesis. And the reason for that is this. Moses wrote the book of Genesis and he knew God as Jehovah. But God did not reveal Himself to Abraham as Jehovah. And that didn't happen until the third chapter of the book of Exodus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, we find the Lord's name associated with the word Almighty. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God had asked Abraham to come out from among them. And God had asked Abraham to be separated. And God was going to become a father, a friend, and to Abraham. In other words, a special relationship that God wanted with Abraham. I also would remind ourselves of Psalms 91, verse 1, where it says, "And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." This is a reference to the Almighty God. And obviously, Abraham was walking in the shadow of his God. And we need to appreciate the fact that the Lord is our shade upon our right hand, from Psalms 121. He is a shade on our right hand, and the sun shall not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. And I always, when I'm walking and I'm conscious of my shadow, if it's on this side over here, I know where the Lord is. He's on this side. And when the shadow switches to this side over here, I know that He is my shade on that side. Anyway, the Lord is a God at hand and not a God far off. And so God tells Abraham to walk before me. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him in verse 1, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me." I remind you that in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't walk with the Lord. They hid themselves. Abraham had sinned, and he had not been having fellowship with the Lord for 13 plus years. And the Lord was reestablishing that fellowship and breaking that 13-year silence by appearing unto him. And he wanted to reestablish that fellowship. We need to reestablish our fellowship when we break that fellowship with sin by exercising 1 John 1:6. Through 9. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord regained reestablished the fellowship with Abraham. Then the Lord tells Abraham, "Be thou perfect." Be perfect, Abraham. We've already looked at this word before. The word perfect does not mean like we think of being perfect, but this has to do with being ceremonially perfect. This word is used in Exodus 12 and verse 5, that your lamb be without blemish. This has to do with purity, cleanness. Noah was perfect in his generation, as found in Genesis 6:9. And God is asking Abraham to be perfect. He says, Abraham, I want you to live a clean life. I don't want you to be doing what you did with Hagar. I want you to separate yourself. In fact, later on we know that God did separate Hagar and Ishmael from the family. But he's asking Abraham to be perfect, or to be clean, upright, complete, full, sound, without spot, undefiled, upright, whole. These are the ways that this word is translated in the King James Bible. I'm reminded that the priesthood also was to be perfect. And I thought it would be good for us to reflect upon what disqualifies a priest from being a priest. Not being a part of the tribe of Levi, this doesn't have anything to do with being kicked out of the family. It just means that they could not offer the sacrifices. Remember this, the priesthood is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. He was a lamb without blemish, without spot. The perfect sacrifice for you and for me. In Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 and following, it says, "Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God." They could not be active in the tabernacle or the temple. And the reason, one of the reasons why Aaron's seed had to be without blemish was because they were offering animals that were without blemish. And so we are not going to have someone who has blemishes offering sacrifices that are without blemish. And so Moses tells Aaron that none that serve in the temple or the tabernacle can have a blemish. Verse 18, "For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach." One of the blemishes is being blind. Now let me just stop here and just say this. God is not down on those who are physically handicapped. Who hath made the blind? Who hath made the deaf? Who hath made the lame? God is the one who has done this. Okay? So we're not talking about saying that God is down on those who have physical handicaps, because He has allowed that to happen. He has made that. He has made the ear to hear and the eye to see, and He's also made some ears to be deaf and some eyes that can't see. But this is a picture and a type. That's what we're teaching here. What does blindness in a leader hinders him to do? It hinders him to lead. When the blind lead the blind, what happens? Both fall in the ditch. So you can't have a priest who is an example, who is a type or a picture of Christ, being blind and having him lead the flock of God, because what happens is they both wind up in the ditch. He cannot be a blind man or a lame, or he cannot be lame. What does being lame mean, or what do we associate with being lame? An inconsistent walk. Being lame means you don't walk the same all the time. And so an inconsistent walk causes confusion. Or he that hath a flat nose. What does it mean to have a flat nose? Well, you can't discern between the senses. I mean, you can't smell that which is sweet and smell that which is bitter. And so you cannot, if you're having a hard time discerning which is good and which is not good. Or anything superfluous. Superfluity has to do with extra parts. In other words, a high priest could not have six fingers. He could not have six toes. He could not have one foot big and the other foot small. He couldn't have, in other words, he had to be well balanced, physically speaking. That's what we're talking about here. And a priest needs to be well balanced. And that's what God is asking Abraham to do. Be balanced, Abraham. And not be blind. Or have extra parts. I think of the animal sacrifices could not be superfluous either. You couldn't offer a lamb that had six legs. That was not acceptable to the Lord. Or you couldn't have a broken hand. A broken hand is a hand that cannot hold, that cannot help, and is not able to give. And I think that if we need to be generous in our walk with the Lord. And a priest who had a broken hand, who was not generous or who could not help or to handle the sacrifices, of course, would be disqualified. He could not be broken-footed, unable to walk. With a broken foot, you just can't walk on it. You can't stand on it. You can't walk on it. This disqualified them from being a priest. Or crook-back. Crook back means that you're looking down all the time. You just can't be down all the time. And you can't be setting your affections on things below. We need to be setting our affections on things above. And so a priest could not be crook back. Or dwarf. I was thinking about people that are short. And of course, obviously, we're all lucky that we grew long enough to reach the ground, so whether you're short or tall, you're thankful that you can touch the ground and go. Being a dwarf simply means you didn't grow spiritually. This is the type of the picture that we think of. We need to be growing spiritually. To walk perfect before the Lord, we need to be growing spiritually. Or that hath a blemish in his eye. Defective vision, unable to discern the word. In other words, Abraham and the priest and you and I, we need to be able to discern the word of God. And if we have a cataract or something in the eye that would cause the light to enter into us, being darkness, then what happens? Then our whole body is full of darkness. So, we're not to have defective vision. Or to be scurvy. The word scurvy, some do not think is a good translation of the Hebrew word. Scurvy is a disease that causes, it's a disease of the gum. And this is really not what it's talking about here. It's talking about scratching or an itch. If you've got a itch, you've got to what? Scratch it. And while you're scratching, what's happened? Your attention has been distracted. And a person who's got an itch is going to be distracted from what? Doing what the Lord would have him to do. I'm not talking about the physical itch. I'm talking about distractions in your life. And a man cannot be a priest who has an itch. A scab. What is a scab? Well, a scab is the healing of a sore or a boil. Blemish from within. This has to do with secret sin. Secret sins are going to cause sores to come out. Be sure your sin will find you out, is what the Scriptures teach us. And scabs are an indication there's something wrong on the inside. And so a priest that has a scab could not be, a person of the tribe of Levi could not be a priest if he had a scab. Or hath his stones broken. This has to do with bearing children. If a man could not bear children, he could not be a priest. He could not minister in the tabernacle. So every priest that ministered in the tabernacle had children. That proved that he was qualified to do that. What this has to do, basically, is fruit bearing. Are you a fruitful child of God? We all need to be fruitful children of God. And so, these are These are things that disqualify a man from ministering in the temple. And in verse 21 it says, "No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God." Now he could eat the holy bread and he could eat the portions that came to the priest, but he just could not minister in the tabernacle. And in Leviticus chapter 22, I'm going to just read this. This has to do with the sacrifices themselves. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect. It shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemishes therein, blind or broken or maimed, or having a wen. That's a cyst. That's what that is a cyst, or scurvy, or an itch, or a scab. You shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. In other words, the sacrifice and those who received the sacrifices had the same type of perfection. Now when it comes to the church, that's what the Lord is interested in doing. He is interested in cleaning our lives up as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 through 27, it says, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The sacrifices were to be holy. The priests were to be holy or set apart and sanctified. The sacrifices were not to have any spot or wrinkle. What does wrinkle have to do with? What are we thinking about wrinkle? Well, when our muscles deteriorate, that's when wrinkles come. And so we're saying he wants a church that is not going into atrophy. It's one way of looking at it. Wants a church that is active and not wrinkled or any such thing, and holy and without blemish. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, this is the end product of what the Lord wants to do with the church. And notice that it is associated with the Word of God. It takes the Word of God to provide us with cleansing and leadership and guidance in our life. And in chapter 5, in verses 1 and following, we see things that can cause us to become blemished and spotted. In Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 through 6 it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." This is what God was asking Abraham, to walk before me, follow me, be in my presence. Let me tell you can't be in the presence of God with sin without being convicted of it very soon. Verse 2, "Walk in love." That is obedience. That's what love is. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Walking in love is also sacrificial. We need to walk sacrificially. "As Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor." We need to produce fruit, be fruitful. The fruit of the vine is the wine which cheers the heart of God and man. And what is it that pleases God? Us doing His will and producing fruit. Verse 3, "But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints." Sexual sins are blemishes. Uncleanness produces spots. Covetousness is idolatry. That is, things you're putting before God. And he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Notice verse 5 is the focus of what he is saying. If you have spots and wrinkles and blemishes, you will lose what? Your inheritance. What is our inheritance? Inheritance is reward based upon service. A pleasing walk before God. Doing those things which are pleasing to God. That's what will produce rewards and our inheritance. What was God giving to Abraham and to his seed? And an inheritance. Where? In the land flowing with milk and honey. And we are told that if we are involved in sexual sin, lewdness, suggestive talk, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, being a whoremonger, an unclean person, this will disqualify you from having an inheritance or ruling and reigning with the Lord. Let no man deceive you with vain words. We were talking about justification here a few Sundays ago. The vain words that we hear today is that you're just as if you have never sinned and you will never have to give an account if you are a whoremonger or idolatrous person, because when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are justified. And you'll never have to answer for that. If that's the case, why exhort the church to be clean? It is inconsistent with what we are exhorted to do. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We're talking about disobedient children of God. And children, disobedient children of God will have to answer for these sins, and they will be disqualified from ruling and reigning and lose their inheritance. Not their salvation, but their rewards and honoring glory in His coming kingdom. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." God exhorted Abraham to walk before Him. We need to walk before Him in wisdom. Circumspectly means carefully, making right choices. If you can't see, you can't smell, you can't hear, if you've got blemishes and problems, it's hard to walk circumspectly. And so therefore, you're in danger of losing your inheritance. 1 Corinthians tells us, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor lesbians," those that abuse themselves with mankind, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Excessive drinking will disqualify you from ruling and reigning. And covetousness. Covetousness is another form of idolatry. Desiring something that someone else has. We are to know this. And knowing this will cause us to be careful what we do and what we become involved in. 2 Peter tells us, or gives us, a warning in verses 20 and 21. "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle therein and are overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." What this simply says is this: if you separate yourself in a way that you are clean and separate and have no spot and keep your sins, keep short accounts on your sins by confessing your sins, you can become entangled again with the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And your end is worse than if you had gone on in these truths. It would have been better, verse 21, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment. What is the holy commandment? It has to do with our inheritance, ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom. It'd be better for you not to know these truths. In Colossians 1, 22 and 23, it says, "In the body of His flesh," this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." That's what God wants to do. That's what the Lord wants to happen. He wants us to be holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Where is this all going to take place? This is going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. You're either going to stand there approved, or you're going to stand there naked and ashamed because of your behavior. And you will be reproved, and you will be blamed because you were not walking circumspectly. And that's the reason why it's so important for us to know that it does make a difference how you live. You will be holy and unblameable and unreprovable if you continue in the faith. This is in verse 23. If you don't continue in the faith, it just simply means that you're not pleasing the Lord. To continue in faith means you're pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Grounded and settled. Oh, how much we need to be grounded and settled in His Word, that we know what we need to do, and we're grounded and settled that we're going to do just that. We're not going to be confused. And not move away from the hope of the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. What is the hope of glory? Well, what is the land flowing with milk and honey? It's a land of glory. And it's my hope to have an inheritance, a better inheritance, in the land flowing with milk and honey, or in that in type or in picture, a heavenly inheritance. That's what I want. I want a heavenly inheritance. I don't want an earthly inheritance. Did you know I can qualify to have an earthly inheritance and not a heavenly? So can you. If we live our life uncircumspectly and we live in sin, our inheritance will be here on the earth and not in the heavens. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is the high calling of God? It's to rule and reign with Christ and to stand in His presence approved. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," complete, "be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." What is God exhorting us to do? Forgetting those things which are past, let's press toward the mark for the prize. The prize has to do with your inheritance. This is the high calling that God has given to His saints. And we need, if we are perfect, or if we're set apart, or we're complete, we're going to have this mind. And if we don't, then we need to make some adjustments, and we need to ask God to help us to do that in our priorities. God asked Abraham, or He told Abraham, "Now Abraham, I am the Almighty God. I'm just reminding you who I am. And Abraham, I want you to walk in front of me. I want you to know I'm looking. I'm observing your behavior. You can't get away with it, Abraham. You've been fiddling around for 13 years. It's time to change. Let's get your act together, Abraham. And then he says, be thou perfect. Be clean. Be separate. Behave. And that's what God is saying to us today. May the Lord help us to listen to what God Almighty said to Abraham and know that God will provide everything that we need to do that. Because that's what's wrapped up in the word Almighty. He is powerful. He is from above. And He is the nurturer of those who will walk before Him circumspectly. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, that it ministers to us Your grace and Your wisdom and light to walk in a way that is found pleasing in Your sight. We do pray, Lord, that You'd help us to apply these principles from Your Word to our life today. And Lord, help us not to be entangled again, having escaped the pollution of this world. We know that there would be those that would deceive us and to cause us to turn back into the old way of living, the old life. And being entangled, we are trapped. Lord, help us to enjoy fellowship with You and to know when that fellowship is broken to reestablish it with confession of sin. We don't read of any altars of Abraham between chapter 15 and chapter 17. And we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to enjoy the blessings of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, on a daily basis. Bless the message to each of our hearts and lives, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.